you, Jesus. All right, this is Sunday morning, 9/24/23. Wow. As Danny was singing, I was thinking about, this is going to go along with what I'm going to teach and what his theme of what the Spirit was giving him to sing this morning. You know, so people get born again, but it's like they never reach the point where they actually tap into the kingdom. It's like they go to church and they hear sermons and they may even read their Bible and they may pray a little bit, but as far as really learning to tap into the kingdom inside of them, they don't have any clue. They'll go their whole life and they really don't know. They don't know how to do anything. That's why they have to go to the pastor for prayer or the prayer chain to get their answers, because they have not well done what Romans 12 tells us to do, to find out God's will for us, to tap into His plan. They hear from the pulpit a general plan, maybe the plan of that fellowship or whatever, and they get in there and they begin to just work. Well, this is my calling. I don't think so. We've been in churches where they give you all the tests and everything and you find out where your talents are. But like I've said before, I think that what God calls you to do probably has nothing to do with your natural talents. It has to do with spiritual talent. It has to do with spiritual giftings inside of you. And so they never get that focus of an inside kingdom, just like we've talked about. You know, God moved out of the box. The veil was rent from the top to the bottom at the temple. God will never go back into a temple. I don't care if the Israelites built 150,000 temples. God will never go back to that box. He wanted to come and live in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people think that's nice, that sounds nice, but I don't think they really realize it is a divine connection on the inside for the whole body, but also for you as an individual. This morning on the TV broadcast, I was talking about the danger of reading everybody's books. Everybody's got to do the purpose-driven life. Every church across the nation did the purpose-driven life. Never read the book. Never planned to read the book, unless the Lord leads me to read the book. But what has He really called us to do? To get in your lane. And if necessary, put blinders on, like a horse. That's how they keep a horse plowing straight. He has blinders. He can see the step in front of him. He does not get, you know, without blinders, he sees something over there in the other field. I want to go over there, you know. And see, there's the problem. We never hone in to our lane, what God has for us. There's a kingdom connection to your path and finding that path. Few that be that find it. Few there be that find it. But those that find it, their lives are enriched above all others because they can tap right into the kingdom. Father has the plan. Father has the supply. Father has everything you need in your lane. If you get out over here, no, He's not obligated, if you go rogue, to supply you. Now get this morning. He is not obligated to supply you if you get out of your lane. You leave your connection with your kingdom assignment and you go rogue. Like I said, there's not many people that I know even know what I'm talking about. Unfortunately. All right, what I want to talk to you today is about your imagination. This is part of the kingdom, your imagination. It's your creation ability inside of you. All right. We see a pattern in Genesis 1. We're going to read Genesis 1. And you're going to see God the Father's way. It's also your way. It's called creation realities. It's the title. Genesis 1. And you know, it's nearly impossible to talk to someone that has not made that connection because they just don't get it. It's kind of like, well, I'm talking to you FM and you're on AM. That's what it is. They never in their whole life have connected to their inside assignment, the inside will of God. Yeah, I can say and see in the Word what the Lord says we need to do, read the Lord's Prayer, do things like that. But to really hook up and hear on the inside of you, this is what I've called you to do, and this is what I want you to do. Like I said before, once you make that connection, you can't go back to the vomit. You may hear that pastor's vision, but to you it may be like vomit. What's vomit? It's already been chewed, already been eaten and threw back up. I don't want that, do you? I don't want somebody else's stuff. I want fresh stuff from my Father. All right, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, how did He do it? The earth was without form and void. Oh, it's a mess. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Are you facing any of these kind of situations in your life today? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There's that inside connection. Spirit of God. Honing in on the Spirit of God, hooking up with the Spirit of God. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. See that inside connection. Right here, the Spirit was Strong's here. Moved upon the face of the waters. It means to brood or think deeply. You got a situation and you're praying in the Spirit and you're thinking about it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, say this. God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. What you create inside of you by the Holy Spirit is good. Anything else, the works of men, not good. They may be noble in what they're doing and trying to do the right thing, but they don't get it. This isn't about an outside connection. Knowing the right people, the right chains to go through to get success in life or whatever it is. But it's the inside track we're talking about today. All right? And God called the light day and the darkness He called night, and the evening and morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and then it divided the waters from the waters. We can read through this whole first chapter and we will see God said and He said and He said and He said and He said. What did He do? The Spirit of God gave Him the Word. He practices His own message to us, His own way, the way of faith. He does the way of faith. He does everything He does that way, and He created us to do it like Him too. There's not any other way. There might be a few men's plans that make it, but most of them fail. All right here. And everything that God made, He called it good. He called it good. He made the firmament. Everything God made was good. Everything that God puts in you and you speak and it becomes reality is good. And there's no way for it to go rogue because it's directed by the Holy Spirit. All right. Everything God imagined and spoke into existence was good. Our imagination is working all the time, if you haven't noticed. All the time. That's where the devil gets access to us, is through our minds, through our imaginations. He's trying to get us to imagine. He knows how it works. You know, nothing in this world has to really harm us or hurt us, and really it can't. But if he can convince you that it will, or that it does, that's all it takes, because you will exercise your faith towards that. That's why I believe a lot of the things that are coming forth are probably just bunk. All they have to do is put out the fear porn, and people will believe it. Oh, the shot killed me. The shot's going to kill me. Well, next thing you know, they're dead. I've seen it. Seen it with my own mother. A so-called medical provider told her she was dying of lung cancer. And 3 months later, she was dead of lung cancer. I'm convinced up until that day, probably she was fine. But that person was planted there by the devil. The doctor himself didn't even say that. This was just somebody working in there with no sense. To cause her to scare her so bad that she became convinced of it. And she got just what she believed and probably spoke. That's not the way he wants us to go. See, everything God said was good. Because the Holy Spirit was hovering over the situation. They worked as a team to bring forth what was good. All right, just keep going here. All right, our imagination is working all the time, and it's up to us to use it for good or for bad. I mean, the choice is ours. Jesus said that what comes out of you is based on what you put in. Matthew 12. Verse 33. Jesus said here, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure, right here, treasure, is deposit. Whatever you deposit. So you could say, a good man out of the deposit of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure, evil deposit, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So when you stand before God, you can't point a finger at God, but God, you didn't so-and-so or whatever. He'll say, no. This is what you said. It's going to be like a tribunal. We already know. We already got it all. So you can't come in here and say, I didn't do nothing. They'll say, well, we got it right here. You can't argue with God about it. No way. All right, we are made in his image and likeness. Genesis 1:26. He chose his for good in the creation. If you choose bad, is that God's fault? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over. Not be used of the devil and trodden down, but have dominion over every situation, every circumstance, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Isn't that what we're facing right now in our nation? The rogue element has taken control of all seven mountain mandates of culture. They have tried to take everything. They're trying to sabotage our meat. They're trying to sabotage everything. They're trying to make it to where we have nothing and nowhere to go. We live in a cubicle and eat bugs. Why? Because we have not taken dominion. So God created man in his own image. When he saw the mess, saw the waters covering the earth, it was dark. What did he do? First he said, light be so I can see this mess and start correcting it. And light was. And God said, it's good. See, we got to speak light on this situation. And I don't mean go rogue on it. I mean let the Holy Spirit lead you, and he will show you what to do. He'll hover over the situation, and he'll give you the words to speak, and you'll speak it just like God did, and you'll see the results God got. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then he says, I've given you every herb-belding seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree which is in the fruit, which is the fruit of the tree yielding seeds. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for meat. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning was the sixth day. No, we got to have a license to even just go shoot a deer. We got to go pay. How much did we pay us those couple days ago for those ribeyes? It was 30 or 30-something dollars a package for three ribeyes. Now you tell me, what's wrong with this picture? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Another part of that says, if they are not, it's like great groaning. You go, oh man. We've got to learn to use our imagination. Man is made in the image and likeness of God. We have been given our imagination to use as we want. God's intended purpose for us to use it to create good. Satan, on the other hand, would have us imagine what we don't want. Mainly what we see around us is what we don't want. All right. Webster here, imagine means a reproduction or imitation of the form of. All we have to do is get a picture in our spirits of something. That's your imagination. Wait for the Spirit to give you the word to speak. I've had this happen a few times in my life, unfortunately a few times, where I was concerned about something, and I was really fretting over a situation, and the Lord spoke to me and said, speak this, and within 24 hours, it changed. There's no waiting for days and weeks and months and years. When the Spirit gives you the word and you speak it, it moves a mountain. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Mark 11. People use that flippantly and pray it all the time, but he's talking about your inside connection. Don't get off the point of what we're talking about here. Your inside connection with God. It's a spirit walk. It's not a flesh and blood walk. It's spirit. The whole church has missed that. That's why we have all these big institutions doing all these programs, sitting behind our pretty pulpits or whatever the case may be, and the lost are dying out here. All right, keep going here. You can sit around and imagine all the bad, and eventually it will come out of your heart, which is your mind, and you'll speak it. See, it works that way, but it works on the bad part, not the good part. Or you can sit around and imagine all the good, and eventually it will come out of your heart. That's your production center. Matthew 6:21 here. This is where treasure, the word treasure again. For where your treasure is, we said its deposit is, there will your heart be also. And he goes on to talk about the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And then he goes on to talk about no man can serve two masters. So read on the worry side of things or the carefree side of things. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. What is he saying? Get a picture, an image on the inside of you of what you want. Pray through in the Holy Spirit about it. Wait for the Spirit to give you the word to speak, to take care of whatever you're lacking here, whatever's causing you to get out of the spirit into the flesh. Because the flesh is the other master. Okay. Matthew 15. This says it all right here. And there's another one in Mark, but we'll just do Matthew today. Matthew 15:10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Why? Faith supply to it. Creation. When you speak in faith, you're creating. So it's your thought life that's the problem, not the thing. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? I could just imagine. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. How are we going to root these things out of us? Stay with the Spirit. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? I mean, you can get on social media, and probably every platform you get on, they've all got their cure for this and cure for that and all this stuff, a big money maker. You think Big Pharma's a money maker? Don't be fooled by that. Lord's saying, in, out, in, out, in, out. But people are going there, yes, I did this, or I took this, and I'm having all of this problem, and this solved it. What's working here? This. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. There's a production center. There's the problem. That was the point he was trying to make. It's not about eating or not eating. Big deal. No big deal. In, out, in, out, in, out. What I'm trying to get you to see here today, it's your thoughts. Because your thoughts produce results. Because eventually, what you're thinking about, you're going to speak. If you don't get that thing under control. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Right here, heart. The thoughts, feelings, and the mind. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. I had a friend one time that there was a particular movie that came out that had some really good music, came out 70s, 80s, I don't know which. And she'd been to that movie probably 20, 30 times and listened to the music constantly and all that. Well, she was having infections in her body. And she'd take a round of antibiotics and they couldn't get this infection out of her body. And she asked me to pray. And I did. And the Lord said, it's her music. Well, this person loved music. So eventually I got reamed out about it. We're no longer friends. But that's okay. She knows the truth. What was defiling her? What was she filling her mind full of? Wasn't hating scriptures. You know, music has a spirit behind it. You have to be very careful. If you're going around listening to country and western, they're the worst about drowning in your beer and cheating on your wife, or nakey breaky heart, whatever all this garbage is, it sounds good, man. It makes you want to just, you know, do wiggle your body. But I'll tell you what, it can be deadly if it becomes so much a part of your life that that's all you think and breathe and everything else. It was designed that way. What about the drug culture? What about the rap? Always said rap was crap. It was all by divine design to get you thinking, well, this sounds so good. It sounds so much better than, let me think of a good song, old church song. Jesus loves me. That's boring. Yeah, but people are doing it all the time. Most people are doing it all the time. Some of them 24/7. And they wonder why they have problems. We're made to create. God made us creators just like Him and His likeness and His image. But God didn't say anything until the Holy Spirit showed Him what to say. His Spirit was hovering over the situation. Just going and doing stuff. It might help a little for a little bit, but I'll tell you what, if you don't handle it the right way, it'll come back. It'll be coming back. This is profound and deep, but it is not. It's the simplest thing in the world. If you just get people to even just listen. All right, Mark 11. I just kind of gave my testimony about how didn't know what to do over a situation, knew that it was another person involved and knew they had made a decision and I just could not. And they were wanting me to give their approval, their blessing on it, and I just couldn't do it. And I just kept staying in the Lord's face. It was probably 3 or 4 weeks. I was just in the Lord's face, and it was a time, had a time issue on it. And Then one day it was just like, bam, say this. And I said exactly what the Spirit said, say, and it moved in 24 hours. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, Lord, teach me to wait. He's got an answer for everything. Everything. No, people just, well, I just got to do something. I just got to do something. So they do something, and they just make the mess even bigger and worse. It's not too late. You can always hit the floor. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do about this? Kind of like Jesus' mother. He said, woman, what am I supposed to do about this? So what? They don't have any wine. What do you want me to do? Whatever he says, you do it. Well, it wasn't long. Guess what? The Lord gave him what to do. Save the day. Isn't that what this is about, saving the day? All right. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right here, thinketh means to split or open. Act as a gatekeeper. You're the gatekeeper of your thoughts. And the doors you open is up to you. Or the ones you shut are up to you. God's not making you do it. Well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He might have tempted you to do it, but you did it. Right? All right. Whatever we imagine and say, that is our created reality. Proverbs 4. Verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for their life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, remove thy foot from evil. What do we start this out about? Get in your lane. Get in your God connection. And from then on, there's your connection always for whatever you need. Whatever you are confronting, there's your connection. Not, helter-skelter. Just running about, just looking like a chicken with his head cut off. There's people doing that all over the place. You know, I said, Lord, I've listened to a few things this past week, and the most outlandish crap have you ever heard in your life these people are spewing. I'm thinking, Lord, they discount your word that it's incomplete and it's not relevant. But they'll believe this garbage? It takes a lot more faith to believe that garbage than it does God's word. I'm just astounded. It's kind of like that little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I've seen them go from a little nuts to flat out lunatic. I'm telling you, it's just amazing to me. How can you believe this stuff? They're living in Star Trek land, I'm telling you. We got to pray for them. And these are Christians. These aren't just people in the world. People in the world probably got more sense. They probably say, that's a bunch of crap. I do. I said, Lord, I don't want to get into care about this. How would you have me pray? What would you have me to say over this person? Or how am I to pray for these that are in this situation? Few they be that find it. Few there be that find it, the straight and narrow way. Few there be. All right. Whatever we imagine and say, that's our created reality eventually. Okay, keep going. Luke 17. I'll have to say this about Phil. He knows more than people have been Christians for years and years and years and years and years. And he very much needs his mind renewed. But he's got some basics right that won't take him off track. Flat Earth is one of the biggest, keyest things to all of this debacle. If Flat Earth was taken seriously and proclaimed with the scriptures, that it would debunk 99% of all this garbage we're hearing. It would. The truth of God's word. The very first chapter of his word. And it's not relevant. Lord help us. All right, Luke 17, 20. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." If Jesus doesn't set up his kingdom for another 1,000 years. The kingdom is already inside of you, and you can choose to operate it or not. We have that deposit in us. We have that ability to create just like God created in us. Old Testament saints did too. At the new birth, we receive these creation abilities, but we must be watchful. We are the gatekeeper of our lips. We can live in heaven or in the earth if we want to. It's really up to us. I think it's the Psalms talking about chastening the door of your lips. In other words, you guard your gate. All right. This is why Jesus said, pray this way. This is the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. Then verse 9, he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Well, how's that going to happen? You? Me? Give us this day our daily bread. See, the Lord takes care of our needs. We don't have to go about saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We walk in love. We don't hold grudges. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. If we prayed that prayer that day, every day, and that's how we walked, that's kingdom. We can expect to receive kingdom benefits. Kingdom ways. That's what this is all about. David said this. This is Psalms 141:3. That's what I was talking about. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. I don't think we have even tapped into our capabilities that we have in God. But we've worked it pretty good on the other side, right? Unfortunately. We've been so negatively programmed, we're dealing with the ites 24/7, pricks in our eyes and thorns in our sides. And whose fault is it? Is it the ites' fault? No, it's ours. They tricked us. We tricked us. They know how it works. All right, we're going to have 1,000 years to speak only good, for there will be no bad, but we do have to wait for Jesus to come in his kingdom to operate like God operated. We don't have to wait. Sorry. We don't have to wait till Jesus comes in his kingdom to operate this way. The kingdom is already inside of you. The principles have already been laid down for you to operate in it. It's time for us to turn Satan's fear tactics back on him and whip him with it. All right, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. They all know these well. The first one's James chapter 4. First, we're going to have to put our mind on the right thing. People want to get healed, but they think it's going to be just like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, thinking they don't have to do nothing. Well, I have news for them, especially if they live their whole life living for themselves and walking in the flesh. If they think, you know, God might do something for someone that's a newbie, doesn't know any better, but Christians don't really have an excuse. Right here, James 4, 7 and 8, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Well, that'd be submit to his word, right? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. These are those back and forth, folks. Well, I got prayed for Sunday, but it wasn't there Monday, so let's go back to our old ways of doing things. Let's get our shots and our pills and our elixirs and all our good diets and all this exercise programs and all this stuff. You might feel a little better. It says it helps a little. But if you don't get that mouth under control, you can forget it, because you're going to just keep creating realities that you don't want. The goal is to create things you do want. Right? 2 Corinthians 10. You know, this one to me is just so self-explanatory. For though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where do strongholds happen? In your mind. Casting down imaginations. Duh. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There it is right there. Death and life from the power of the tongue, and then they love it, shall eat the fruit thereof, whether for death or for life. Simple yet profound. All right. Mental strongholds have caused us to live the life we don't want. But mental strongholds can cause you to live your best life now. You gotta make an exchange. That's what the renewing of the mind process is about. It's changing your mind for the better. To good. From bad to good. All right? Now, when Jesus comes again, or you die and go to heaven, you know, that's great. But you can operate this right now. Right now. Kind of like Joel Osteen and Your Best Life Now. You know how popular that book was? Just simply because it was positive. People are looking for positivity in their life. All right. How do children do it? If they're left to be normal kids, how are they? They're carefree. They're silly. They don't give a thought about anything. They don't care where their next meal's coming from. Just when they're hungry, mom fixes the food or whatever. They don't think about the utility bills. They don't care how much everything costs. They just have good time. They get out there and imagine. I'm a cowboy, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a this or a that. Never give a thought about it. It takes the devil to get the kids out of that. People say, well, they grow up. Well, no. As Christians, we should never grow up in that respect. To have the mindset of a child. All right. This is Matthew 19. Verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the devils rebuked them. Get out of here, you little brats. You ever notice people that they just get out on their knees and play with the kids and enjoy them? Others say, get out of here. You bother me. That's what the disciples were like. Get out of here. We don't have time for you. We're busy. But Jesus said, suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Everybody in the kingdom of God are like kids. I'm going, oh, it's going to be so much fun. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Of such is the kingdom of God. That's how God wants us to act as his children, carefree, knowing that he's going to take care of everything. That we don't have to fret about anything. And we can sit around and imagine what we want or what we want to be or whatever. Free range, for sure. Talk about free range, all right? Mark 9:23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Where do you believe? Huh? Well, you do believe in your heart. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. You believed when you got born again. You believed in your heart and spoke it out of your mouth that Jesus Christ was Lord, right? What happened? You became a new creation. That's your first step of creation realities right there. The first thing you ever did in God is you got recreated to be just like him. Because they fell in the garden. But even Abraham, by faith, became God's friend. He walked by faith. He didn't walk like most men. All right? You believe in your heart, spoke it out of your mouth. Okay, let's keep going. Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. So don't let anybody ever tell you, oh, that's stupid. What do you need that for? We've had people say that about us. What are you doing in that big old house? Thinking, what business is it of yours? Go live in your shack. Who cares? You're just jealous because it isn't yours. That's the way you got to look at it. The Lord doesn't look at things the way men look at things. There is no limits with him and nothing impossible. I mean, to in heaven, this probably looks like a shack. So don't let anybody shoot down your wild imagination. All right, Mark 14:36. Ah, torn on the page. Tore another page. I guess I'm going to have to switch Bibles, goodness. All right. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. You know, sometimes the Lord requires us to walk through some places. It is His will for us to do so because He's trying to teach us things. He's training us. All right. Romans chapter 8. I'll put this on. The whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There is, therefore, now no condemnation, verse 1, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, I wonder. I know people get born again, and maybe they never get a chance to even learn how to walk the Spirit-filled walk, but you think. Anyway. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh demand the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't that what we're talking about? Carnal mindedness gives you the things you don't want. Spiritual mindedness gives you the things you want. Peace in your life. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Now y'all can understand why the Lord has pulled you aside to train you the way He has. You had to learn the ways between the flesh and the Spirit. See, He's recruiting you to be a son of God. Talks over there in Hebrews about, you know, the son that's chastened. Even Jesus was chastened by the Father. It's an honor and a privilege. And it's the best thing that could ever happen to you in your life, that you really realize the walk of the Spirit as opposed to the walk of the flesh. Because the walk of the flesh is going nowhere to happen. I mean, it really is. It's a disaster for anybody who walks that way. I don't care how much money they have or things they have. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So it's all this inside stuff that does all the stuff that needs to be done. And I'll tell you what, when God raises you up, there ain't no going back to bed. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, I wonder those that Jesus said, they'll say, well, Lord, didn't we prophesy in Your name? Didn't we do all these things in Your name? He's going to say, I didn't know You. Do you think possibly they had a call and they just took off in their flesh and just started doing what they thought they ought to do, as opposed to getting the plan from the inside? Maybe that's this bunch or that bunch. The Spirit itself beareth witness, Allah Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is an inside thing. The God, you don't have to look out there. Am I really a Christian? No, it's in here. It bears witness with you in here that you are a child of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, learning this process, this training, being pulled aside, out going to the backside of the desert, it's painful, but it's glorious. I'm so thankful that the Lord pulled me aside to do what He did in me. Because I didn't understand. And I didn't understand why things, I knew I had a call, but I didn't know what to do about it. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with me and my call. And I didn't know what to do, but God had a plan all along. And it took Him pulling me aside for me to get it. And I am so thankful. Whether any man endorses me or not, I don't care now. Because God's the promoter. Okay, where did I leave off? Oh, for I reckon, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God, we got to look to that. This momentary light affliction, Paul said. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, but not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, when we get it and we begin to be the sons of God on the earth, even creation's going to be released from this bondage. Because we have creation ability in us to change things. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. He's talking about inside. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Got that inside going. And for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, he didn't, Jesus, how did he walk? I don't do anything unless my Father says. I do nothing independently of my Father. I don't just go around just doing religious stuff. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So once you make that connection, it's forever. Forever. All right, let's keep going here. So what are we waiting for? For everything God has for you to do, more than likely he will have something for you to say over the situation. You just need to ask him. We aren't acting independently here, but the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak that will create. We are here to change things, aren't we? We're going to have to ignore Satan's spook house to do this. Our mind will have to be on the Good Shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know it, my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness, mercy, and follow me all the days of my life. You know the psalm. Satan's spook house. Satan is an illusionist. This is what an illusionist is. One who produces illusionary effects. That's false evidence that appears real. Sleight of hand or a magician. Illusion is the act of deceiving. Now think for a minute that, don't think for a minute that Satan has forgotten who we are and what we can do. That's why he comes against us the way he does, trying to stop us, because he knows our capability. See, they've snowed all of creation. They know we're the sons of God. And they know our capability. That's why we've been under the tyranny for 6,000 years. He knew if he didn't take them out from the get-go, there'd be no stopping us. Yeah. All right. All he can bring is false evidence appearing real. It's up to you. It's still in your control what you do with it. All right. He still needs the person to conceive it in their heart and speak it out of their mouth to hurt them or kill them. Satan can't create anything, but he can only convince you whatever. Whatever he brings. The best he can do is make some idiot think they're a cat or a man think he's a woman and cut off his vital parts and stick on some fake ones. I mean, is that fake or what? He can't do anything. He can't create anything. I thought, is that your best work? That's sick. All right, all the training that you've been through to get you to this point, I believe is at hand. We're coming to the close of this. He's preparing us to reign. That's the objective, to reign. All right? Romans 5:17, this ministry. This is the what this ministry is about. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, because of what Adam did, death reigned. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. There's the goal, right there. Now I want to read one more set of scriptures and we'll be done on this teaching. Romans 4. Verse 1 there says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man who, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, that he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them that are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which had been yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for there is no law, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Therefore it is imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have faith with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Abraham, he was past age of childbearing. So was Sarah, but Sarah had a dead womb. What happened? God gave him a promise. And she conceived by faith. But not just that. He went on to live to be, I think it's 180, 175. Isaac was 180. And he got married again and had more sons and daughters. Sarah, she lived at least 40 years. She saw the boy, you know, raised. So look what this creative ability in them did. Look what faith did. I mean, that's pretty spectacular even for today, wouldn't it be? So I want y'all to have this mindset. There's not anything can stop you if you stay in your lane and you keep your connection with God and you let him tell you what to do. You don't just do stuff. He's got to know he can trust you, right? Okay.